Yes, and I think it's a miracle that that school survived without a major fire.
It is.
Those flimsy old wooden buildings.
Yeah. I used to think when I was a student there, and even later as a faculty, there must be some guiding hand watching out for this place, because everything was so tinder dry that if a spark had got loose in that old main building or one of those dormitories, in that cold weather, why, it creates its own drafts. And there was no firing. We had nothing. It was a joke having those little cylinders on the wall and that old chemical cart out in that little house.
We weren't even too sure how much our water supply was with that one well.
Right, right.
And chemical lab right in that building.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it was in God's pocket all the way. Because
yeah, must have been. There was some destiny that willed that that was going to keep going.
My father had an awful fear of fire and all of that.
It was, well, outside of freezing to death, burning to death was probably the second only to freezing to death was burning to death.
Your home froze to death outdoors anyway.
Yeah.
Then that fire in the house, they never did know that was set.
Oh, I'm sure that was set.
Oh, I've read about that. I've read about the house catching fire.
Somebody threw kerosene in there. I think it was a disgruntled student. And your dad never locked his door, you know. He'd go out the back door, and it was always unlocked. And I think this kid, just knowing this, he watched his time, and he went in there and just threw the.
Was there some evidence?
Kerosene
you
there.
Think?
There was there evidence. You see the streaks of the way the fire traveled. It wouldn't have traveled that way. Otherwise,
no, not in that.
Got some help.
Uh huh. Hmm. Oh, what a shame!
It was a shame. It was terrible.
It really gutted the interior,
best,
didn't it?
Paintings were, yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought that that section all went.
By the way, do you recognize that?
I was going to say, you know.
Yes,
I had forgotten about
it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Your dad gave that to me.
Yeah. It's a nice bright thing, and I thought, I've seen that before, and
that's
who
right
it
out
is.
Of?
It's Louise. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And that's Kate and Dolly. You remember Kate and Dolly? The apple grays?
Down to the farm, huh?
Floyd
Hageman.
Hageman.
Where did that name come from?
I don't
isn't
know.
It funny?
Isn't that
just
funny?
Pulled it out of thin air when someone connecting the farm. And there, isn't that something?
You know, she did pretty well.
What ever became of that picture? Is it still around the college of the, is it the ship at the dock in Cordova or something? Or the picture she painted from the deck of a boat of the warehouse and the train?
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh, yeah, I think Louise did that.
I have one of hers, but it's Cape Cod. No, it's Jeanette. It's
well, this is Cordova. It's the Cordova dock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just exactly like you saw it, that's all. There was the warehouse down here, and then the railroad tracks going this way and the hill behind it. I think she sketched it from the deck of the boat as she stood up on the deck and made the sketch and then later colored it. She was pretty clever.
I thought she was. I think she did very well on that.
Did she have training?
Brooklyn Art Institute.
Did she? She went there probably somewhat after your dad came to Alaska, huh?
She was a little older than me. It must have been about the time you went to Alaska.
Yeah. You know, some of the most. Did you ever read the charming letters between your dad and his sister when he was in college?
No.
I thought you went maybe through his correspondence.
No.
When he was in Bucknell, he used to write just about every week to Louise. And she spells her name a funny way, too, Louise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my dear sister or my dear Louise or something, you know, and your brother, Charles E. Bunnell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he would write a kind of a weekly account of life at Bucknell. I thought maybe you'd read it.
That was very nice.
And she'd write him back. Now, I've got quite a series there for about a good half of a year anyway.
Mm.
And it gives a good insight of college life at that time. But more interestingly, she was financing him, you see. She'd send him a dollar almost every letter, or $2. And he would keep account and thank you, how much I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm keeping a strict accounting now of what you're sending me, because you're going to get paid back and just as soon as I get back on my feet. Or when I get the job, because he was serving tables, of course, over in Miss Mary's boarding house, too, you see. And then during the summer, the first summer, he went out on the road selling maps for some map publisher.
I remember that.
And
I remember him telling about going up in New York State.
Yeah, he toured the whole darn country. I guess, I don't know whether he was selling them door to door or to dealers.
Yes, fine. Because
the furnaces, I can turn the furnace on.
Oh, I'm pretty warm-blooded. Fine, but if you'd like... But those
letters from Louise are, and to Louise, are really quite charming.
Very interesting.
Quite charming. Mm-hmm. And then when she'd send him as much as $10, he'd send her a note, an IOU, a promissory note to pay her back.
How was she making money at that time?
She was working as a clerk in the store.
Oh.
Yeah, she was doing clerking. In some general store up at Montrose, and sending him a dollar or two every day. It's really quite charming. Yeah. Well, I'm mentioned in my book. You should read my book.
You should read your book someday. You know, Bill can't wait to read his own book. He's really wanting to. Can I do that for you, or
you
know
your own fireplace? So this is
all I need.
Give me a match, I can light it for you.
Good.
Where are these letters?
Well, I don't know, but they're down now in the archives, and the archives have 21 cardboard boxes. I don't know if you know what they're cardboard filing boxes. Mm-hmm. You know, like you used to have in the accounting office, you know, cardboard,
yes,
with about 4 inches wide and letter size or bigger in dimension. And there are about 21 boxes of correspondence there.
They weren't in the safe then?
No, I don't know where they got them. Must have been in your dad's...
I don't know who took care of them. Anymore.
I don't know either.
I was worried about them a little bit. You know, everything might be thrown out.
Or yeah. Well,
I wondered about the things that were in the safe. You know, he was saving real rare things in the safe for the university that were too.
Yeah, well.
All my gold nuggets that Captain Donovan gave me disappeared. I don't know where they went.
Is that right?
Oh, maybe around the museum or something.
Well, all this is just written matter, you see. But among them are the accounting books. His little cash book. Not his first year on Wood Island, but the next year or so, when he and your mother went back to their first year on Wood Island, and their every expenditure would be noted there, you know, accounted there, and. There were two companies, the NC and the AC company. The Alaska Commercial had a store, and so did the Northern Commercial. And they'd have a little account in each one, see. And then they would send him a statement, you know, of account, you know. And it's kind of cute because the entry for candy appears almost every page there. Candy, 25 cents. You know, right?
Yeah.
It's cute because he had a sweet tooth or something, but candy. And then one of them, Christmas for May's Christmas to the Kleins or something, $5. She'd taken $5 to send home for Christmas gifts or to buy Christmas gifts for the family. And so it's kind of cute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
it is
meticulous
cute.
Accounting their expenses for the year. The first entries are household goods, you know, the pots and pans and so forth and so forth. $3.80, I think, is worth of household.
I'm not that I can give it to you because I can't, but I was wondering if you have the sequence of events in Valdez when he had the sheet metal works and the lumber company and.
No, not and too clear. No, I got him there in teaching school up until about 1907, when he resigned and went into law practice with Edmund Smith for a while.
Reading law.
Reading law. And then he And then at the same time, he must have been engaged in something else. Maybe that's when he went into the... Would that be about the time he got into the...
Well, yes, I think it was along about that time. You don't know, Gene, or do you?
I don't know which comes first. I know there were sheet metal works.
He was in the sheet metal works.
In the lumber company.
In the lumber. Well, those are mentioned. All I know about it is mentioned.
I gave Bill
today
a lot of those old deeds and no good stock, you know, mining stocks. You've seen those probably.
Yes.
And that I found two lovely pictures for Bill. What was that, 1910, when he was playing in a band on the 4th of July playing
what?
His trombone?
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, his candy bars were already showing up. On his rear.
Yeah, but he was pretty well padded, all right. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
yeah, candy.
I'm not being too fat. He was.
Eunice, yeah. Do you need glasses or can you see them here? You can take a.
I don't know. I have to have my glasses.
Yeah.
I right there. On there.
I can't keep my glasses on. It's one of these. Pull them on and pull off the
edge of that
too.
Well, you might get a kick out of these.
I've got a good magnifying set here.
Pictures, you see, because that's what we were going through this morning, and
that's why
I picked out quite a bunch there.
First, I had to.
Oh, I remember this one.
That's when he was on the.
Going over the trail.
Going over the trail, yeah.
It was either
now, this is one of those early days. This was taken over at Kodiak, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there he is.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I didn't even
he was quite a young man. And where's your mother now? Down in the front or so?
I guess it's that one.
Yeah, that must be she.
I would think that would be.
I found the contracts. That was in a scrapbook. He was getting paid $80 a month, and Mrs. Bunnell was 60. 60 a month. That's Jean when she was a little kid.
Oh, that's nice.
That was a jolly.
That's real nice.
The other ones are really funny.
Where do you see those ones? Those
Jean, are you and Francis the same age?
I think so. Awfully close.
Francis is in March and you're in April.
I'm in April. I think it's the same year. But
I think it's
positive.
The same year, too.
You think you remember that?
The Valdez Band.
That's Francis Mills, you know, Bill was born in Valdez, too.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
About the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how much older than you would Owen be? I'm thinking of, if I get to Valdez, I should talk to Owen. Maybe he has some memories.
You know, we always think it's so much older. I suppose it was 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Not great.
Of course, he's building a house there and all.
Harriet Haswell, isn't that cute?
Yeah, that's a good one for Harriet, isn't it?
And
isn't
once in a while, I've labeled them, thank heaven. But I should have done more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, get down and get a little brisk walk down there.
He looked healthy in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He didn't have too much pot.
Yeah, he was always pretty well padded the time I knew him. My gosh, you know, that belt around the waist, it wasn't
him.
Nice. It was pretty well strained.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty well cinched there.
The first
is
radio.
Is that it? Is that that radio?
That's probably 1935 to 40 somewhere.
Uh-huh.
This was before we had local radio. He used
and this
to
was
get
before
outside.
The house was burned, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The old,
mm-hmm.
I
know by the
paper.
By the
decorations.
Paper and all.
Mm-hmm.
That was before the war. I'm
so that
sure.
Was before 1930 then, so it was
before
1930?
Well, I don't think that far, because I don't think I was taking
I wonder who took these.
Then.
Did you take
I
them?
I did.
Well, that's
and
wonderful
that's
you did that.
I'm trying to think that it was when I was liking camera work, you know.
Uh-huh.
It could have been around 1931,
maybe,
too? 29 to 31.
Yeah. I'd say that's
when
hard.
I came back from college or something.
Yeah.
Could be around.
But those are good pictures for indoor
and
pictures.
And look at this. Isn't that fantastic?
Isn't that?
That's before the day. I just heard the title of a new cookbook. It says How to Gorge George Without Fattening Fanny.
How to Gorge George Without Fattening. I like that. That's good.
That's good. That's actually the name of a cookbook.
Is it?
They said on TV.
Do you recognize
I think
that, Dennis?
By moonlight, one time up at the Rainey's.
That's the Rainey's log cabin.
The picture show saw that I had it enlarged.
Enlarged. It's good, isn't it?
Very good.
But Ken and I thought we should.
Pictures through that window.
On my list of things to do, maybe the next Cashin's Corner, I'm going to have to write about the Rainey house on Rainey Ridge.
There's the house.
Yeah. I think that's a good shot.
It's a very good
It's a good picture. Mm-hmm. It's a good sharp one, and I'll be able to use that. Sure. And did Tommy Campbell take that? I think somebody took it who had a lens filter. You see?
See
how the clouds stand out?
Well, see, it's got all written on there.
It was a filtered.
Well, it says there.
Look how thin his face looks.
His cans.
S O C K. Huh? I can't read it. Can you read that? I have to get it under better light to read it.
Well, Becker.
Becker.
B-E-C.
You want a light on?
Yeah,
this is a three-way one over here.
Do you better?
Give you better. Oh, dear.
That's all right.
Well, that was all right. That was a near one.
Well, if I hadn't had my glasses on, I'd have seen it coming.
Yeah, that's a Becker's.
That's up at Rainey's.
I like that one because I'll mention the outside shot and this, and then another cabin view will be just about right.
This went both ways.
Yes.
They all explode at those, unless they close one up.
Yeah. But that fireplace is still one of the.
They've made it themselves and they put all kinds of odd things
in. You know, I mentioned that
this
the other day.
This is the
and
age
I
when I knew you first.
Was it?
You were very busy finding all the babies in the neighborhood to take out in the buggy and pushing them around.
Yeah.
In the sleigh.
And either I was a pest to the mothers or they loved me for taking them
I'm sure they loved you.
Take the kids for a little ride.
A pest. And that bow that's on my head, the bigger bow you got, the better.
Perfect?
And Mrs. Markham.
Makes you look a little bit like one of Disney's characters.
Mickey Mouse.
That's freshman at Bucknell, I think that's what that one is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I had that labeled.
And that's his own writing up there.
That's his. Yeah.
No, freshman 1896.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had two copies of it, that's why we
do.
That's very good, and that's good and sharp and clear.
Yeah, that'll come out fine. Mm-hmm. I'm looking really now. I've got a shot or so in the
Valdez. Oh,
in the
court.
Look at the snow,
Look
at the snow.
I love that snow.
I don't know if I'll be able to use that,
no,
but it has interest to me, and I want to show it. It's see, this is that tennis courts, and they were really pretty fancy people now in town, weren't they?
First came in on the boat.
The Shaw House.
Yeah.
Shaw House.
Oh, sure.
That's right across.
I didn't even remember the tennis courts here. The boats are right here.
Well, you know, that's true, Bill, about Fairbanks in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that they were a special class of people, and most of them are ones who went right from the gold fields here in California, followed the gold, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their dinner parties were in tuxes and evening dress, and
even in those days,
yes, and you didn't go downtown to the NC Company or Wechter's to buy some meat that you didn't have on your suit and your hat and your gloves.
You bet.
Marty Murray said, "Leave your calling cards and go make calls."
And absolutely.
Well, were you in Fairbanks then, or did you just hear about it?
No.
Well, it was still there when you came.
And that's the way it was in 1911 when Nell went up. I was just telling Bill that Margaret Murray and her mother were on the boat just ahead of Nell, according to Two in the Far North. You see, we can check it.
Mm-hmm.
And on the very same boat, and with the very same captain and crew, when Nell went up.
On the next trip.
Mm-hmm.
So when Nell was reading Two in the Far North, she said, "Oh, I knew him. He was on the, this is the same boat that I went up on."
Oh,
it was very interesting.
Huh.
Only Margaret Murray was.
What
ate
you two up there,
laterally?
Well, I've got it all on the record here now.
Yeah. Oh, you have?
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to forget that.
He's got my life story.
Well, this is Mrs. Bunnell now, and some other people over at Kodiak when they went over to Kodiak.
That's see? Precious, isn't
it? Look at that
hat.
Hat.
Look like at a that. Basket.
Imagine Kodiak, so Alaska. Well, I'm sure it is.
You are?
Hmm? It says on the back, doesn't it?
Not positive, but I think it says so.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Stone family at Kodiak, and myself, it says, in walking costumes.
Mm-hmm. That's walking costumes.
Needless to say, I did not expect to have that picture taken. And I put that on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it must be.
Yeah, well, she can.
It doesn't look
she,
like it.
Yeah.
Either then or
mm-hmm. earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't
yeah.
those
do
kind
you
of
still have more pictures?
Oh,
oh Lord. Please.
Well, I was just wondering if you have more of the drawings.
Oh, yes. I have, well, I have some up there.
Yeah.
And then Earl Foster, I have a lot of the years in the early 30s, a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
So these I wanted because they're the Valdez, the era,
mm-hmm.
or Kodiak. And of course, you know, early pictures of the college. So, as far as the college pictures are concerned, I think I've got a pretty good selection now. I mean, from 30 on, the early
do
one.
You have the one in his football suit, the time
the famous football suit,
famous football suit, the year that he played with. Oh, what was that?
Christy Mathis.
Christy.
Well,
Mathis.
Yeah,
I have.
That's in the yearbook. You see, and I hope that we can reproduce it right from the see, he worked when the Legenda. I have the four issues of the Legenda, which was Bucknell's annual,
mm-hmm.
and so those pictures and this one.
Did you start getting this material before Dr. Bucknell passed away?
No.
Oh, you didn't get,
no,
you didn't
I didn't know what they had. I started on this job on the 1st of July, and so I've just been, although I was generally familiar with it, because after all, I was editor of the Collegian, and I have been writing short historical things, sketches, for a long time, you see. So I had a pretty good, now this one, where did I get this from now?
Did Elizabeth give you a basketball picture?
Yeah, I think maybe she did.
I remember that team, don't you?
Oh, well, I remember this team, too.
Yeah. Yeah, she gave me
Maggie.
That.
This was the first year out of the Bloober Girl type, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty daring, huh?
Oh, it
there.
Was.
Oh, boy. Form-fitting, you see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Bilson. Dorothy Bilson.
Mm-hmm.
Thelma? No, not Thelma. But I'll be in it. Thelma?
No.
This is Elizabeth.
I'm not sure which she is. Which do you say she is?
Who?
First named her, and then I backed off.
No, this is Albina Miller. Yeah,
Albina
and this
Miller.
this is
Elizabeth.
Audrey and Audrey. She doesn't know who that is. Do you
I
have any idea?
Remember her name, and I should.
And then we know who she is, don't we?
Well, I don't.
Well, let's
Dorothy
see where
Bilson.
On the. That's Dorothy Bilson on the back. She has Albina Miller, Elizabeth Romig, Audrey Stanfield Loftus, Mrs. Prickard, and Dorothy. And the question mark is this blonde.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know her either. But you see, if one a member of the team doesn't remember, it's very seldom that we could find it. She was probably there just a short time, you see. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't recognize her, have seen her. She's not particularly handsome, I would say. Nice hairdo, I would say. Huh?
She's Marcel.
And she tells me, you see, this 1927 doesn't mean it was taken in 1927. That's supposed to be the class of 1927. So they were freshmen. The picture was taken in 1923 or 4.
Oh,
get it?
Explains it.
Oh, yeah, because 19.
I should have remembered.
Why, 1927, they were all long gone, or they were
right.
in different suits. I don't know. And I couldn't understand it. I said, well, that was taken in 1927? No, she says, that's the class of
1927. Yeah, because 27 was the time I graduated from high school.
Yes. Uh-huh.
See?
I think that's,
this
yes.
was a, this was a class team, and
mm-hmm.
so it was either the freshman class or the sophomore class. Or
probably.
So she said it was taken in the fall of 1923, she says.
That's more likely.
And that makes more sense, because all of these names, you see, I think, maybe we could pick out the name from these books, you see, I brought these along just as kind of little reminders. You've seen that before, Eunice, I'm sure.
That yes, was and volume I have one some of these things.
Do you?
Among my, those old collegians that I have that I think perhaps
well, we've got,
might be needed.
Well, we've got them bound pretty well to the collegians. And as far as I know, there are no missing copies now. I mean, we've
we worked hard on that through the years, and I know.
Remember.
Dr. Bunnell would say, "Well, we'd be missing a copy," and he'd say, "Well," he said, "write to your mother. You know, these old ladies will keep papers, and you'd be surprised the number of papers that mother came up with that helped fill in the collegian." So, and then different women around the territory that he knew, you know, knew their age, and they came in with some papers to help fill it out. Well, do you think then that no one would want these collegians I have, Bill?
Well,
would they be any good to the alumnus file?
Yeah, I think so. You see, there's just a limited number of the things. You know, as far as I know, there are two complete sets. And that's about
all. The ones that we had bound
Those are the bound
ones. Who has the second?
Well, there are two copies, one in the archives and one upstairs in the general Lascana. So, and I of course intend to go right through and read the scan month by month, because that was the purpose.
Mine are not a complete,
no.
It's not a complete
file. Well,
trial.
I
it's
think they'd be good.
It's just isolated ones. Yes, I have the one that tells about the plane crash that Buck Roberts was in, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was very early. That was before your time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that I don't think they should be thrown out. I think the archives would like to have them for death.
I'm reluctant to throw them out.
Yeah.
When I first came out 20 years ago, I didn't feel very well. I haven't felt very well since, in spite of my looks.
That's been 20 years.
But, yes, isn't that incredible?
You came out in 1940? 50.
50.
1950. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you working at the college right up until then, 50, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you were. Well, of course, there was a change of administration in 49.
Yes.
And did you stay on with Dr. Moore for a little while?
No, Dr. Moore asked me if I wanted to stay on, and Bill O'Neill came to me, and I said, and I had already talked to Mrs. Hess, and I said, my inclination is that the new administration should have a clean sweep, and I don't know that one who has been here steadily and as long, and I was the only one other than Dr. Bunnell that had been there steadily
you
see.
You went in 1926.
1926.
And did you have a break or two in
of
a year or so?
I had a leave of absence a couple of times.
Yeah. But then you came back, and for the most part, it was practically continuous.
I was always quitting.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bunnell said, no. Take a leave of absence.
Yeah.
He always talked me into the leave of absence.
Yeah.
Business,
and by the time it ran out, you were kind of maybe.
I was back there.
Yeah.
Like
Ellen
putting
pity. Yeah. Well, these are the first issues of the thing. So you didn't work for the second.
No, I didn't. And so she said, "Well, I feel that way about it too." So I declined any. Sometimes I've been sorry that I did, because I think that I feel a little guilty about it. I think I should have stayed in the hall. He wanted me to.
Yeah.
He very much wanted me to.
Well, in his emeritus,
I
think.
I think I should have stayed in the
Well, that's right.
Don't feel guilty. You can move on.
You certainly did. My goodness sake. Oh, faithful sir. I think you must have established a record there as far as continuity or length of time other than Dr. Bunnell himself. Although I think I'm keeping up on that.
Oh, you're ahead of me now.
Well, I was 4 years as a student.
which I still think was service. I was running the newspaper and driving that automobile. Yes. You know, that's important. No, I've 28 years on the
factory.
28
years?
Yeah, 28.
Way ahead of me, though.
42 to this year is 28.
And that Earl comes next, I think.
I guess, yeah, he came in 45. Maybe it was January 46. He was in the Army, you know. He was a major in the military.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't in the service. So I was there during those war years.
Continuous.
Yeah. And he started that. So
he started.
Then Minnie Wells came in about 40.
Is she still there?
45, yes.
Yeah, she's still there?
Minnie's still
That's
there.
That's right.
Has a new lease on life somehow. Mm-hmm. She's looking better the last year than I've seen her look before. She had difficulty with her eyes, you know, and cataracts and that sort of thing. But apparently they're all correct.
Did she ever say whether she started to write that book?
Yes, I tried to pin her down and she said she didn't do anything on it. Except she felt the only thing she did. What happened was she got a little frantic. When they saw the way they were tossing papers around, cleaning up the office and one thing or other, that this stuff should be preserved. And somebody assumed that she wanted to write the history and so forth, and she kind of edged out of it, but she did manage, you can't walk in cold and start writing a book out of that office.
What did she want to write about?
All she said it should be done for the university, history of the university, all this should be saved or something. So this is her story. So her only claim to fame is that she prevented the stuff from getting destroyed. Well, that was a good service.
Yes, it was.
But I don't think she ever did more than just kind of glance through it, and she didn't put pen to ink there to start writing.
Well, what did Dr. Bunnell write? Didn't he write something?
I don't think he ever put the sentences together.
Is that right?
Oh, I don't think so. He was no, I'm busy.
He talked about it.
He talked about it. Do you know? I don't
That's
think
what
he
talked. Talked.
I don't think so.
He talked about writing from the. He wrote something.
Well, he'd write short pieces and little essays, but I don't think he ever started. He was collecting, and he'd. You know, files.
But he didn't assemble all the early history of the.
Well, it was assembled in his mind, in the book. But as far as.
But he didn't have any manuscript.
No manuscript.
I never saw evidence of it.
No manuscript. No manuscript.
Oh my! I'm disappointed with that. I thought he had.
There's no manuscript. Now he, some of his summaries of the story of the university are good. Mentioned this Bucknell secretary that he wrote to. You remember that Frank somebody in the Bucknell University?
I knew Frank.
He was the superintendent in Valdez, and he applied for commissioner of education.
I knew him in
He didn't get it. That's right. And back he went. It's a common Davis. Frank Davis.
Frank Davis.
Frank Davis.
Yeah.
And he wrote Frank, 1944. Davis said, well. We're putting out some kind of an edition or something. We'd like you to write as a feature, you know, your biography or the story of your college. And he wrote a 4 or 5 page summary of the history of the college in its first rate, but it's only 5 typewritten pages long. But it certainly serves me as a guide, because, you see, then I get the continuity and the things that he thought were important. And from there, then it serves as my kind of, you know, rough skeleton by which I can build my story around. See, I'm not a historian, but I love history. So I have high hopes that it'll be a readable book.
Did you show her that Tapper had it?
No, I don't think so. I lost it, I think.
Did I?
No, last night you lose it.
I had it out in the shop.
I was thinking it might remind you of some things that she could tell you or write you.
Yeah, well, I.
It might fit in some of them. But I don't know.
Well, as I said, I. I was looking for it a while back, and I think I...
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to fly right back up.
Yeah. Well, really, it's fascinating, you know. It's something that I've never seen time go by so fast. I get down there working, and before I know it, it's time to noontime. Oh, and I just...
You know, I had a little taste of that research, the time that that Marion and I worked out all those old papers on the history of Alaska. Real.
Yeah.
Early days.
No, I think
they're
I misplaced
bound and titled Fugitive Papers.
Oh, I've heard that reference to the Fugitive Papers.
I gave those that title, and Dr. Mill thought it was very good.
Well, what
papers
does
papers from all over. Oh, there were things from New York Times.
Oh, I see.
From the Baltimore Herald and from Louisiana, telling tales about Alaska.
Yeah.
How terrible it was, or how good it was, or how rich it was, or how bad it was. It was just this kind of publicity stuff, you see, and Dr. Mill felt that very important to
That was the first day on the job that I think it hits a few high points.
He just sat down and wrote the title, didn't he, Bobby?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good title for the book.
All right, these are excellent.
A little feeling for it when I see what I'm supposed to be writing about. But notice the Dempsey case and the Wickersham charges and that kind of thing, you see. Because
you know a lot more about the Wickersham too than I did.
Oh boy, I haven't absorbed in that for a whole week.
Say, did we university get the Wickersham library?
No, but we did get a copy of a photostat of his diary.
Oh.
We got that, and we've got some things. But you see, I don't, well, I think
it's the Juno Museum, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Yeah.
I think these are excellent, Bill.
Does that really sound,
yes,
give the sweet kind of thing?
There isn't any place, I'm sure, that you have come across the information that in order to have a board meeting, they used to have to Shanghai Morton Stevens and
Yeah,
Over
I've heard
eight?
Of that. I've
you
heard
got
of that.
That too? Yeah, he does.
I don't know how to handle Mort. You know, he's my problem child.
You can handle him absolutely openly and historically. I bet with Edwin's approval.
Of course, Edwin is quite a cook for himself.
Oh, is he?
Oh.
Now he's married an alcoholic woman.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's all right. She's really a pretty good gal. But I have an idea she's fighting.
I haven't seen him for
Don't
7 years or so, but we have to be careful now. We've got an eavesdropper here.
Those are dangerous
things.
Really
are.
Oh, that's, I should retract that last statement because this is just my feeling. I'm really not capable. Where do they live? Outside of Seattle. Oh,
yeah. Well, when they get around here, they give you a phone call.
Oh, yeah, they've been entertained.
I knew Ed only when we were fellow students in a class.
I knew Eddie when he was this big and I was this big, you know.
Yeah. But he's never done anything constructive in his life, has he? Eddie? He longshored for years, you know.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Had no great ambition to get into anything.
I know he didn't go to college. He didn't
oh,
yes,
he graduated.
Yeah, he has an engineer's degree and
he went to California College or something.
Yeah, and he came to Stanford to law school and he decided to go to the And he decided he didn't like the law. He didn't go to the mining. So he went to Colorado and he graduated in the mining. So he only has the mining. He's a nice guy.
Oh.
And my brother. Psychoanalyze, you're friends anyway.
Well,
but Is it still, is it producing or?
No, they lost the band.
Oh.
But he loves to reminisce on it. And he took me out to find it and see it. But Eddie's a pretty good guy, and I think he might have met him more than I need. But it was Eddie that talked. And I think he
That's kind of a crucial part of the of the story, really.
And he was too young to know it.
Well, now, in the story as I get it, of course.
Martin Stevens wasn't the only attorney that was an alcoholic.
No.
Fairbanks seemed to be full of them. Markham was one.
Yeah.
And Collins. I didn't know Collins was.
Well,
but
there were some hard drinkers, and then there were some real topers, you know. They say Stevens was quite a brilliant lawyer, fine mind. But
Fred Crane, and who was that other? You know, his wife's name was Faye. She had beautiful red hair.
Oh, goodness sake. Hurley.
He was one of the worst.
He was a real alcoholic.
Oh, he was just awful.
He had a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now Stevens supported Bunnell and saved
all the
day.
All the time.
Yeah.
All
he
the
was
time.
The Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah, and Markham did too. They were both very staunch.
But on the other side of the fence, we had this Lavery and Bloom. Did I tell you about Bloom? I interviewed him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
Oh, about one. And he's so 93. But you see, he's memorized these stories. You put a question to
him. His memory's good, huh?
And then he goes and recites it accordingly. Gets a key word and then he recites, because people have asked him these questions, you know, for years, see, and so he has the answer. But I said, now why did you object to Bunnell for president? He wasn't qualified, he said. No, he wasn't qualified. He was only a second grade teacher in an Indian school at that, he said. that's right. He wasn't qualified. And then I'd get around to him, you were a Republican. Yes. Now you liked Wickersham, I'd say. Oh, yes. If it wasn't for Wickersham, there wouldn't be a college up on the hill. It's cute as can be. You know? But I always take that stuff with a grain of salt. But I've got the handwritten draft of the motion that they proposed. That the resignation of Charles E. Bunnell is requested for the good of the institution, and it's written on the back of a Lavery and Bailey grocery bill, you know. So I think Lavery made the motion, and Bloom seconded it, and then they got Snodgrass to vote with them. So those three voted to throw Bunnell out, and this was only the second meeting.
Solid block.
And they could have, I think they could have, they thought they had Stevens on their side, according to Bloom. But somebody got mixed to Stevens. I don't know why, but he went over to the other side.
Well, he wasn't a merchant. I don't know if you know this part about the feud between Dr. Bunnell and the merchants of Fairbanks was that they wanted all of the orders routed through them, so they could pad them. Dr. Bunnell said, "No, I'll order my stuff directly from Seattle, directly from Portland, directly." And that's what made them sore. They wanted those orders so they could pad
their commission.
Because here is some government money.
Right. That's right.
That's where the shoe was pinching.
And Stevens, the attorney, was neutral on
He was neutral on that, and he saw too that. And then you see, you wouldn't know because you didn't have the experience. During our years of construction there, and I wrote all of the orders for the lumber and the hardware and everything that went out.
We ordered
and
it
and we
direct.
Would
We ordered it from Seattle, out
we
of Seattle.
We ordered it from Seattle. And Seattle played ball pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, they thought they had us.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something, it's obsolete, it's an odd lot,
mm-hmm.
and instead of filling our order with specified standard stuff, they'd ship us a whole batch of junk.
Yeah.
And they just figured, well, there's Alaskan, it's too far away, and they
mm-hmm.
won't send it back.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Bunnell Foodle,
mm-hmm.
we sent it right straight back.
Mm-hmm.
And about three times round, and they quit doing
okay,
that,
the freight.
Too. Oh, they had, they thought we'd be
oh,
stuck
yeah.
on freight, too.
Yeah.
They thought, oh, yes, they thought that we were stuck, and they found out that they were dealing with
yeah.
somebody
yeah.
up there that wasn't going to take their
yeah.
monkey business.
That's right.
So,
yeah. Well, they were probably in cahoots with the other merchants in town that were egging him to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
How do you suppose he got such a strong, I was going to say phobia, but feeling about Seattle?
Well, and partly through the dealings like that.
Yeah.
They.
And the businessmen were certainly interested in exploiting Alaska.
Oh, yes. It was because of their
yeah.
their
yeah.
idea of exploiting.
Well, Gene, we've been here quite a long
well,
time here, and
well,
I think we've got.
Yeah.
Oh
no! This
oh,
is
goodness sake!
All night.
Goodness sake! When we start talking, you know, I didn't know I was such a gossip or a guy a gabber, but I think I do a pretty good job. I get these people into
marvelous.
the deal. This, yeah. And you know, Eunice, I'm not as I told the rest of them. What I'm collecting here is going to be part of the archives too,
mm-hmm.
because this material that I'm getting here.